Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Paranormal Investigator Radio on BBSRadio.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Perillo.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
I'm Mark Berry.
I'm Peter.
And I'm Rich.
Something's wrong with our audio here.
No, you're good now. We'd
okay, like to thank all back. Of you for tuning in.
Absolutely. You may notice this is slightly peculiar since we're not on our normal week, and we just figured a switch is good and help some folks out.
So. Change is always good.
This is true. We're now going to be every other week coming from the week you're listening to this now.
coming from the future.
The future.
The future.
But we're going to talk in the past.
We're going to talk in the past about time travel for the future.
Definitely.
But no, we are happy that our friends at BBS did get back online. Could only imagine how horrible that was.
I know.
You know, I've had similar situations with some of the servers I've managed before. I know it's a pain, and I'm glad that they're back up and running, and hope nothing like that ever happens to them again.
Amen.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Or eight men, whatever.
Eight men.
No, see.
Let's not go there. Let's just jump right into tonight's topic, which Larry wants to talk about. Gremlins.
Which is very fitting, I believe.
No, I don't know. I just brought it up. But did you, I think that's interesting. That's interesting, what was it? It was propaganda.
Gremlins,
yes. Yeah.
It was actually
a very good movie, what, from the 84?
I think it was more just, pilots used to use it just when they had, like, malfunctions.
There's a gremlin in the engine.
Yeah, it was just, stupid gremlin took out the engine again.
And then Shatner gets on a plane.
And history is made.
Shatner's on a plane.
Shatner on a plane. Him, Samuel L. Jackson. I had enough of these Shatners.
Oh, man.
Before you shat yourself.
Do you think Shatner has ever shat himself and said...
I believe I just shat myself.
I think I just shat myself.
I don't think he can hear himself over the sound of his own awesomeness.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Not that it matters. I'm sure he has someone to change him.
Yeah.
I would like to actually meet him.
He's
on my bucket list.
I thought Pete was going to say, I'd love to change him.
I was just going to say the same thing. I thought he was going to say, I'd
if
love to change him.
If that's my only way to meet him, then, you do what you got to do. Now that you said, the story.
You spent a good few days with Walter Koenig. I think Shatner's next, right?
It's a little poopy. It's the first thing they teach you in nursing school, which is why I got kicked out.
There was a Disney film. What? For Gremlins?
Yeah, Gremlins are quite old, actually.
1943, the cover of Gremlins.
Oh, no, they would go back to the propaganda.
World War II.
Walt Disney was heavily involved in American
propaganda. No way. We can do a whole show on that.
Actually, most of the military patches were all designed by Disney Studios for the Air Force.
Really? I did not know that.
Same.
Now you use Mickey Mouse in a kindergarten room and they sue you for $12 billion.
Actually, we're
probably... And that's
probably,
our 14th lawsuit we're for the evening.
Probably about to get sued by Disney. Their lawyers are... They're going to have law drones.
They're calling in right now. Thankfully, Disney's calling in right now. This is a pre-recorded episode, so screw you, Disney.
They'll never catch us.
Mike knows Mr. Pewter Schmidt, so we should be okay.
We went on safari once.
Yes, Gremlins, I think we're entirely... I don't see anything on here of any existence prior to...
No, like I said, I think it started just as a joke... That then probably grew into urban legend or something, and then they made a movie that.
Well, they had the Twilight Zone with the gremlin on the plane with William Shatner, and then they redid it with John Lithgow.
Yeah.
In what was it? The early 90s.
Yeah.
I think it
came
out around the same time the remake of Night of the Living Dead came out, which is fantastic. I think that's great. Tony Todd and it kills it.
That was just on the other night.
Was it really?
Yeah.
You gotta shoot him in the head.
Interestingly enough, the 42nd Bomb Group had a gremlin mascot that flew with them, the Good Luck Gremlin.
Are you talking about, was it the Looney Tunes gremlin? Did it have the, oh, it didn't. Do you know what gremlin I'm talking about? He has like a helmet. It's the Looney Tunes,
I think it's the same gremlins they use in the Disney footage.
Was it? Because he has a helmet.
It's a little helmet with two horns.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's the same, he's in Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yep.
Wasn't that the alien?
No, that was. There was the Looney Tunes flea that was food around the corner, food, and then there was the gremlin who was pretty much the same thing, but a gremlin. And
you scare me sometimes.
And then I love Looney Tunes.
You have a very in-depth knowledge of both Disney and Looney Tunes. It does scare us at times. Later.
Not Disney so much, but Looney Tunes, yes.
Well, the Looney Tunes are worth listening to. Watch
We're constantly around Looney Tunes.
True enough.
Not even
this
in the paranormal.
This is it. Tonight's the night. Who knows what heights will hit? Come on with the show. This is it.
When they hear this in the future, 2 weeks from now or a week from now?
A week from now
in the future, if last week before the week that we're going to talk about.
They're going to be like, the past was such a crazy time.
You're experiencing the past right now.
I can talk to my future self right now.
If you have anything to say.
You're talking to your future self kind of seems a little less fantastical.
I can, like,
unless it's your future self talking to its past self.
I can write myself notes and put them in my mailbox. And then just come back a week later and be like, oh yeah, that's right.
Only if the week you could send it from the future back. Week from now you.
Yes. Then.
Get the ticket. Whew, I scared myself.
So let's just throw this out there. I mean, it's a repeat of a little bit from, well, actually, no, it's a show 2 weeks ago, which is actually 5 minutes ago to us, but since we traveled.
It'd be a week ago.
And then a week before that, Rich and Dave did the presentation on Bigfoot at the Woodgate Community Center.
A week
to another sellout crowd for RIP.
Heck yeah, good job, guys.
Is that a wolf?
What was that?
Sasquatch?
Did I fart?
Bigfoot telling us he was pleased how we represented him and brought him to the masses.
And again, I mean, we'll just bring it up quickly. I mean, sitting in the front row was a guy wearing some kind of Bigfoot suit. And, interesting crowd. We have an idea, though, Rich, for your next presentation. When you do that with David, when you played that sound, what was you played the sound there, the Bigfoot scream?
The vocalization. Yeah,
we're going to have somebody dressed up in a real Sasquatch suit just run right into the presentation room.
He would scare the crap out of Dr. Diamond.
Dr. Diamond?
Dr. Diamond.
Oh, boy. That's a story. I'll get some stilts. I'll do it. I don't have a problem.
Some
of the spring
Dr.
stilts.
D. Clemenza.
That
air raid. That's why I jumped. Because
you got to tell the story. They don't know anything. This was 2 weeks ago yesterday.
During the Bigfoot presentation, I went outside to enjoy a cigar. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
Ooh.
And to not have smoke blowing right into the library where the presentation was, I moved over to the post office, which was right next door.
You know, because the library has a lot of flammable things inside. But those in the future might be using fully digital books by now.
And I'm standing under an awning because it had started to rain. And actually, as I had called my dad, and I got his voicemail, so I left him a voicemail, and I'm like, hey, Dad, Mike, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I'll try your cell phone, so I'll talk to you. And just before I hung up is when the air raid horn siren went off. And I jumped probably 30 feet, because just as I walked out of the presentation, you had just played the Bigfoot sound clip. Now, where the library and the post office is, it's in the middle of the woods. And it was...
Yeah.
About this time of night, it was raining, and then that came out of nowhere 3 feet behind me. My initial thing was I was being attacked by Sasquatch, who was angry we were doing a presentation on it.
And didn't fight him.
That flashed through my mind at first. I'm like, I'm a dead man. I jumped 30 feet, hit the ground, and then it hit me. I am a near 40-year-old man who's now scared of Bigfoot. As the fire alarm started going off. So.
And you left out the part where you pooped your pants.
Well, that came the second time because then I moved over to the library.
Twice.
I moved over back to where I was library.
Peter has just informed me it's been twice.
Because I was thinking that maybe there was a smoke alarm under the awning that I set off by smoking my cigar there. So I was thinking I was responsible for the fire.
Crapter puns.
So I moved over back to the front of the library awning, where I proceeded to finish smoking my cigar. And about 20 minutes later, the alarm went off again.
Oh, that's so great. That is so fantastic.
Did now, you guys know they have Ghost Hunter soap?
Ghost Hunter soap?
You can buy it. It's $10 for a bar.
What?
Yeah. It's for spiritual protection, clearing, and cleansing.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's got sage in it?
I know you might be asking, is this for real? Well, yes, it is. It smells great, and after washing, you do feel a lot cleaner. So it does remove evil spirits. Or no, so does it remove evil spirits. That depends. What do you do to protect yourself after an investigation? I always say a prayer and ask for spirits to leave. I set parameters and guidelines that they are not of my spirit and I am not of theirs. With prayer, guidelines, as well as my mental and spiritual strength and beliefs, I feel it keeps me safe and clean from attachments. The soap I've added my protection regimen. I just used some after Gettysburg and literally felt lighter, cleaner, and after a couple laughs, felt better and happier. Does that mean you will feel the same? Well, that depends what you believe. I carry this product because it contains all the natural and important ingredients that we use anyways when it comes to cleansing a home and a person.
So
try it yourself.
New product idea, guys. Now just follow this all the way through. For $49.95, it can offer spiritual cleansing enema.
Oh, it's made with holy water, white sage.
Isn't that somehow sacrilegious?
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought there was a...
I didn't make it.
Well, no, I thought there was canon law that prevented you from flavoring the
You know what my version of holy water is? I get some water.
My version of holy water involves alcohol in it.
Mine involves God.
Listen to you guys.
Hey, it burns just the
same.
There
was like that thing, Pete, I believe you posted.
From Stacey Jones a while ago?
No.
About sage?
No, it was just the other day.
If you're going to burn sage, you might as well smoke clove cigarettes.
That guy was selling like his spirit guide on eBay or on Amazon. Was it you who posted that?
That was Tristan, actually.
Oh, Tristan posted it.
His spirit guide, Jimmy, I think it was.
Jimmy, yeah, guy was on Amazon. He was selling Jimmy his spirit guide for like $1,600.
Was that what it was? I didn't click on the link.
eBay let one soul go through and one air guitar go through before they canned those. It's only a matter of time before one spirit guide goes through.
They got a $160,000 offer.
I have a spirit guide to sell.
Yeah, the guy sells you the talisman and the spirit guide and the letters legals with it.
I'm going to etch runes into his skull and sell an exact replica of Bob from Dresden.
Bob.
My name is Bob.
Well, we've been over it and over it and over it. I mean, and if that's your group's deal that you want to go in there cleaning houses and making things worse for people, that's what it is. But
there's this nice group of people here in Rome. I think they're called the carpet cleaners or something. They come in and do the whole house real good. And it's not spiritual cleansing. It's just, you know, deep cleaning with steam cleaners. That's the best way to do it.
That'll get rid of that pesky orb problem.
Yeah, pulling enough vacuum, that is going to suck
the ghost right into it, yeah. If we've learned anything from Ghostbusters.
When it comes right down to it, honest to God, and I'm not just tooting my own horn here, but this group, our group, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, it's probably one of the best groups around, very reputable, and we don't blow smoke up your butt. We're going to tell you exactly how it is.
Unless you buy the spiritual enema for $49.95.
Or the sage bundle for $5.95.
Or the ripoff bundle for however much.
See,
I hate that.
We
I
kid,
hate
of course.
That.
We kid.
I used to tell these guys and gals for years, Larry, it's like, If you believe in demons...
Yeah, but there's people obviously taking advantage of someone.
No, I know, but if you're believing in demons, you're standing in front of a demon with a handful of grass, burning it, saying, go back to hell.
Unless that grass is also...
Yeah, where is that going to get you? At least the priest, they come in with holy water, their shotgun with rock salt, and all these other cool tools, and, you know, at least put them where they gotta go. You've all seen Constantine.
The Spirit of Destiny.
Yes. No, I thought the air conditioner was leaking.
Oh, I just saw a car back up outside.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. But anyway.
In the name of Holy Sage, I return you to the fiery pit of Azerbaijan or whatever.
That would be about as effective as the K2 in front of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Hey, if Bigfoot is scared of a K2, you've already gotten yourself a success.
You know, and I'm just saying, a lot of priests are Irish. There's a few Italians out there. They can hold their own. They can fight. That's when your brass knuckles come out just like Constantine.
So you get those Irish priests that just get back into the fist fight when they get the
Irish priests. The Irish priests use the old Queensberry rules. Pugilism.
Pugilists.
Tossed across the room by a demon, stand up, pull the collar off, and it's the worst thing ever to happen to that demon.
Take a swig of rock.
So is a gremlin a demon?
Ooh. Why not?
They got those weird hands.
I guess in the same
gremlin hands.
If gremlins didn't get created out of nothing for the most part for propaganda, and otherwise I would say yeah, probably.
Are we stepping into the Buffy world now? Where
no, gremlin. What a gremlin is part of a range of modern spirits that have pretty much been created by man's overuse of technology.
Where the hell did that come from?
Page 46 of the Monster Manual.
Yeah. Well, think about it. A gremlin's sole purpose is to disable and destroy technology, disrupt the natural flow of technology.
It's the wayward spirits
of
known.
So he would be more like an elemental then?
Correct. But it's a modern elemental kind of created by...
They're the wayward spirits of gnomes. We'll leave it at that.
A, you know, free-thinking spiritual entity, or not free-thinking, but free-floating spiritual entity that was then given form and shape by, you know, the world around it. Sort of like creating its own reality.
Kind of the sense behind what people consider rage demons. Someone's so angry that energy goes somewhere and then manifests.
Yes, exactly.
That's fantastic. That's great.
We have a blog officially now. We can put you in it. Start writing. But it has to say rip under no.
Yeah, I know. You'll get all the credit, Mark. Don't worry.
I have a copycat ALS bucket challenger now with the mini bucket. Really? Just remember, I was the first one to do the mini bucket.
The mini bucket? You didn't even do a full bucket?
Oh, you got copycats.
Oh, it was a full bucket.
Aww. It was a full bucket.
Just a tiny bucket.
This is ridiculous.
No, the bucket was full. It was just a
small bucket.
You know, I saw something on Facebook I wanted to talk about. And this happens every time. I'm going to have to just like hit print screen or something because I can never find them when I go back.
But no, not the Buffy.
Sorry.
There's a possibility, I suppose, of the multiple kinds of demons in the sense of demons being malicious entities.
Yeah. I know, I'm just teasing because there was like, they went through the whole book and then when they couldn't find anything legitimate, I
guess.
They
just added a new page.
They just like made up their own, which was fine.
That's great for
a Buffy. I was a Buffy fan, so I'm not going to sit here.
That was a good show.
I loved it.
It really wasn't that great of a show, but it was a show I watched.
Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. Heck yeah, that's where I spent my 8th grade nights.
Interestingly enough, you could still watch it after the show if you'd like.
So what are you guys watching on TV? They still got Supernatural and all them things?
On hiatus right now.
Arrow, any of those things?
Orphan Black.
Has anybody heard about Heroes coming back?
If you have not seen Orphan Black, you're missing.
We'll have to check it out. But as for Heroes, I did Heroes coming back. It was being revamped and redone.
Yeah, with a new cast and new people. I don't know
It's not going to matter because it's going to be blown away by Arrow and The Flash.
Yeah. And that's what
The Flash is going to take the cake for superheroes.
The Flash actually looks really good. I saw a preview of it I didn't see before. I discovered Google Play, and I love Google Play. I just bought Sons of Anarchy Season 6 because Season 7 comes out, and we've been trying to DVR it, and we've only got like Episode 5 is the first episode. I told my wife, I can buy the whole season on Google Play. It's $2 an episode, but I can buy the whole season for $22.
Yeah.
So I bought the whole season. You know, because you're normally going to watch it once. You're not going to go back and watch it all over again.
Right.
So this way we can Chromecast, because I got a Chromecast on my TV, so we just Chromecast and watch it. So Google Play is a nice little addition. But on that, I'm trying to get through that show, but I did see some previews for The Flash, and The Flash looks kick-ass. They have The Flash coming out. They have Gotham, which is another one that's going to be really good, man. It's going to go in before Batman existed.
Bruce Wayne was a kid. I didn't know how I was going to take that at first, but the more I read about it, the more I'm really interested in it.
And they're going to lead up to another series.
I'm fine with alternate universes in DC Comics, at least.
Right.
You know?
It's not really an alternate universe so much as just explaining all the where all the villains came
you
from.
Where comes from.
Constantine's going to be on
that's what
NBC.
I'm looking forward
to.
That looked awesome.
On the topic of superheroes, since I guess we're a paranormal talk show and whatever else you want to call it, do you think it's possible? Maybe not to the extent you see a Flash running it, mock whatever the heck it
Look
was.
Look at Stan Lee's Superhumans.
Exactly.
Come on. There was a guy that could power power a hot plate with electricity going through him. His eyes turned white like storms.
But yet he didn't actually suffer any physical damage. That was
notable.
No, he
just couldn't see. He couldn't see what was going on.
He suffered no physical damage before, after, or during the process that actually stayed. So it makes you wonder, I mean, is it possible?
I think it's completely possible. It's just evolution. It's just evolutionary.
Right. I don't see somebody flying or running.
I'm telling you right now, within the next 20 years, we're going to be seeing people with extrasensory perception coming up more. We're going to be seeing, I honest to God, I wouldn't be surprised if there's an actual telekinetic. Like you could actually witness these.
With extrasensory perception in the sense of what it is, I think actually that we're seeing a negative effect on that. Because if you think about it, we're exposing ourselves to what people should be sensitive to. What would explain it would be the EM fields and such. Mm-hmm. People are exposed to that so often now, maybe it's dampening that. And I don't see it actually being more prominent in the future. I see people being more resistant to it in the future. Because we're exposed to it so much now, we're eventually going to evolve to prevent that.
Look at...
I'm sitting in a EM freaking field right here, just with the computers, the board, the mics. I mean, personally, I think we're more likely to build a resistance to it than actually expand upon it. That is not more likely to build a resistance than a sensitivity. Well, maybe not. Then again, you say what I say all the time, with what we do, we become more sensitive to what's going on around us in the sense of us feeling the fluctuations in the EM field or in the temperature a lot faster than we used to because we're looking for it. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I just contradicted myself, but you know what?
I just found a whole load of John Zaffis videos on YouTube. That's like Christmas for me. I'll be watching them tonight.
You know, I think there's a possibility. A lot of like you said, the Stanley's superhero show. It's off the air as far as I know now. I haven't seen
it. It totally is, and that's such a bummer.
But they ran out of people, too. And they did disprove a lot of those people. Like, he actually pulled people through it and said, well, this isn't so much a superpower as it is. Like, the one guy who was throwing the Kai punches or something, they actually shot most of that down as him effectively hypnotizing his students to believe they're being affected by it. So when he'd swing at them, they'd stumble and fall.
So, but what makes him capable of hypnotizing and being...
Well, he was the guy training them.
Oh,
so when
that's
he taught them that this is supposed to affect you this way, suddenly they swing and they're off balance.
Mass hypnosis.
It's like mass hysteria, mass hypnosis in the same sense. But then they tried it on some of the guys there testing them. They didn't move. They never felt anything. He tried it on equipment right in front of them. Never did anything. But then there was Bellinger there. I can't remember her first name. The energy vampire, she's been dubbed.
Michelle
Andrew. She actually fluctuated the equipment without touching it in front of her because she's supposedly moving or pulling or drawing or pushing energy.
Bellinger, is that her name? Yeah. Yeah, she.
So it's possible. I mean, we've seen it's been reported as happening, but not on large scales yet. I think you're right, though. Next couple of years, decade maybe.
No, I think it's. When you know, like Rich was saying earlier, the paranormal is just going to be normal. We're going to be out of the job. And it's going to be one of those things where...
Someone has to investigate the normal, too.
Yeah. Well
I'm sure some other weird... I almost said a bad word. Weird stuff will be going on where...
We're
going to
start
just as long as all of our gear can transfer over to there, you know.
As
do some really wild
stuff. The paranormal stuff. Becomes normal, then it just increases...
So since this is air, it increases the bar of what is paranormal.
Right,
it makes
right.
paranormal harder and harder. There's always going to be paranormal. Just what we define as paranormal will always be... different.
Yeah. You know what, Mark? You said you triggered something in my mind here when you started talking about Michelle Bellinger, psychic vampire type lady. What's going on with Ryan Buell from Paranormal State? I see a lot of stuff on Facebook and online about him.
I see a lot of negative stuff.
And that's what I mean. A lot
of people
bad stuff
fans.
About him. So
from every account I've ever heard, he's an asshole. Or I should have probably sworn, but that's probably the case. And a lot of people didn't like him, didn't get along with him. But it doesn't give anybody reason to accuse him of things that haven't been proven yet. I mean, one of the biggest things I see is now that people are accusing him of faking his cancer. Because it's in remission.
Oh, it's gone past that. Now, what he did was, again, the story.
Right.
I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything here. But he planned all these events in this tour. And he had Chip Coffee on it. And then Chip Coffee backed out. And then and Chip Coffee had a real post on his Facebook page talking about it. So did Michelle Bellinger. And that's what made me think of this. Yep. Where they set up all these events, sold all these tickets, and then they just canceled. They didn't show up.
It was
right towards, not 2-3 months out.
That
a few days out.
He did do that, which is what got him a lot of flack, is he canceled
right,
a lot of his events.
I,
And I think because of the flack he's catching from that, you've seen a lot of accusations start flying. And
yeah.
But I think there were no refunds on that.
No money's been given back. And that's why Chip and Michelle Bellinger said, listen, we didn't handle the money. We were just invited as guests.
Right.
And, you know, we're sorry that this didn't happen, but, you know, we didn't handle the money, and which is, you know, I feel bad for them because, you know, they're basically probably being harassed a little bit just by the association.
It reflects negatively on them for something they had no control over.
Exactly.
See, and this goes back to what we said on the last show.
This would be multiple weeks in the past.
Yes. Couple, yes.
So what we said on last week's show.
We had our event at the shops with John Zaffis, which we didn't talk about here, but long and short, we had a good moment there where one of the people who attended the event, his deceased wife came through the Frank's box, spirit box, and talked to him. And he knew it was her. We're not going to say his name and so on. He's been to several of our events. A lot of people who go to these events, and I've experienced it, especially younger people, they want to see something. Not for the curiosity of,
what's
oh, I just need that scare factor. A lot of them have lost somebody. They're young at that age, and it's like, I just need to know there's something more than
they're looking for answers.
And they want an answer, and they can't find it. That's why
they're
they go
seeking
to these
validation.
Events. And I feel bad for a lot of them because they're trying so hard they're never going to see anything. But when it does happen, it makes me happy because all of this flack, all the crap we take from other teams, that's what it's about to me. No matter how much thousands of dollars I've invested in this over the years, that's worth it to me to place that one person there so they can get their validation and talk to their loved one.
It's, no, you're good. No, they're seeking that validation. And it's important to note that when we say this gentleman heard what he heard, it was him hearing the voice of his loved one that's been passed. And there was nothing to it other than the fact that he experienced it, he heard it. Everyone around him experienced it and heard it. So it wasn't just somebody leading him on. He was actually experiencing something legitimately, which is it's always a good thing. It always pays off to have that happen. But on the note of the Frank's box and feeling bad, I do believe that we... I mean, all should kind of feel bad for the community as a whole because we did lose Frank Sumption, and he himself was probably one of the few that invented something unique to the field.
Which would have been this week, but next week you're listening to next week, so it was two
you
weeks
can't
ago.
Can't feel too away. Bad because he got his answers.
Well, now, of course.
And we'd love to talk with you, sir. Preferably through the Frank's box. I don't want you to come talk to me while I'm in the bathroom at 3:30 in the morning.
Talk to us over the radio, Frank.
Yeah.
Hey, why not?
Call in.
Well, you know 90% of the people you instant message online are actually ghosts.
What?
See?
Blurry.
That sounds like a bad Facebook.
It is blurry.
Post.
No, that was actually from like 1997, 98. They said that 85% of the people on America Online were ghosts.
I could imagine you die waiting for the dial-up to kick in. But, I mean, and then by the time you're around, you just don't want to stop, so stick around for a bit.
And
I think that was probably more relation to the fact that they were bots, not ghosts, but...
You know, and Rich bringing it up, that's for aspiring groups out there, that's the importance of your name. You can lose your name literally in the snap of a finger just by associating with somebody who has an ulterior motive. That's why we're always careful with what we do.
And who we associate with. We've always liked collaboration, but we're very...
You know, nobody knows who Chip Coffee is.
Yeah. What do you mean nobody knows who Chip Coffee is? Everybody knows who Chip Coffee is.
Well, no, I'm being sarcastic there.
You know, something special at Starbucks?
Gremlins. Gremlins made him do it. So what else we got out there? We have, I can't find anything interesting on here. I was just watching a video without the sound, but they were debunking the flashlight test. Did we ever go after that on this show?
Not on the show, but we have in person, and we've had...
It's bullpucky.
Well, okay. Yes, we did test it. We were at the Otisaga Hotel for the first...
Did we ever actually use the
first,
flashlight
well,
test?
Well, we figured we'd test it because it was a very popular thing at the time. We tested it in, you know, at the Otisaga Hotel. I think Stacey Jones was actually with us at the time. We had a camera set up, and we got down to the point where we could count the amount of time it took for it to come on and then turn off, whether questions were being asked or not. And it came down to the backing being loose, and over time as
just
the metal as the metal cooled, it's like a thermostat. As the metal cooled, it expanded, and then it touched the battery. And once it touched the battery, it came on, it heated up because there's energy flowing through it. It shrank a little bit, just a little bit again, widened the gap, and then went back off. So, and that's why it's always, you know, oh, you have to find the perfect spot. Yeah, because you want to turn it into a thermostat, which is...
I'm shaking your hand because I think that's fantastic observational work.
That's
great.
Where we
it was what, like every 28 or 30 seconds it would trigger
depending on how far you turned it. Yeah, we got it down to where you could almost dial out how long you wanted it for each question.
I didn't even think of the spring inside acting like a thermostat. Like I'm not thinking I'm thinking like car thermostat, you know?
Right. Well, it just took time. Trust me, there was quite a few times we're sitting there staring at it going, there's no way that just answered a question. And we finally got to the point where it's like, well, no, this is, I mean, it's such a subtle change in heat, too. You're never going to see it on an actual thermometer for the most part.
But just enough, the molecule.
There are people who have used these, and they have like a slew of them set up. Actually, it was at that same event we were talking to Britt, and it was this slew of them he had explained having set up, and they were different colors. And they'd ask for one color to turn on, it would turn on. Then ask a different one, that one would turn on. That's a slightly different situation. I'd have to see it in person. But that seems more triggered rather than an environmental change making it happen. So maybe, I don't know. But as it stands, the test itself, I will say outright, don't use it. It's not reliable unless you have a very good control. And then you can maybe count on it. But until then, just pull out a flashlight.
Like if you actually
the back.
Just separate like the bulb from the device and set it there, and then the bulb lights up.
Hey, if it can do that, it should be able to activate a touch lamp. And we've used touch lamps.
Yes, we have.
See, I try to make it as easy as possible for any kind of entity or anything to communicate because, like, that's why I stick with what color is this?
Right.
What's this vegetable? What is this fruit? Things that there's no thinking involved. You know, it's not like, what's your last name? Oh, Siebelowitz.
It's an entity from outside time that existed before time did that.
I have any answer.
But see, if you were into chicanery and quackery, if you could get that timing to sort of like every 28 seconds to stretch your questioning
out. To know how
to
stretch your questions.
You can always get that result.
It's the same sense as a lot of the...
And how are you getting the same results? How are you getting fantastic results saying, turn on the blue light, turn on the orange light, now turn on the green light?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I've heard it's only been accounts that have been relayed to me, and I can only trust them as far as the person.
Because let me tell you something. How many investigations have you been on? How many of you? How many times does stuff like that actually work?
Very rarely.
See?
That's
like,
why.
How does this happen over and over and over again?
I couldn't even unscrew it to the point where the light would just barely turn on.
You can't even do it.
Right. So, and that's the thing. That's why a lot of times when I say somebody gets evidence everywhere they go, and again, evidence is a term I hate, but they get this stuff everywhere they go, they are obviously, in my mind, doing something wrong. But then you have folks like those on the TV shows who are going to dozens of locations and they're filming for a week on end or this long period of time. So it's people taking that information, misinterpreting it as something has to happen in the half hour I'm here, and then finding something every time. That, to me, is just an issue. That's why we're not afraid to say we went somewhere, didn't find anything paranormal, because it does happen.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of times the people, the paranormal investigators are on these shows. All they do is pretty much at the end of the location, they do review their stuff to a certain degree. They turn it over to the production company.
Right.
And then the production company says, like, we have rights to do whatever we want.
Pretty much.
It even extended into the field of Bigfoot tree, as on Finding Bigfoot.
Bigfoot tree.
They had that one very controversial piece where they showed an IR print of an animal and said, could this be a Sasquatch? Well, that pissed off the whole entire team. Because they're like, you can't say that. We you know, it ended up being a horse. And the producer of the show, basically, when he had them all in, they had an episode where they brought the cast members in and they're talking about experiences. And pretty much he said to the point where they were all mad at him. They kind of, you know, did that and it upset, you know, the people. And they were adamant about it, ran on live TV or on the show saying that, you know, that's not what they're about. You know, they would rather, like Mark said, they'd rather go out and come back with nothing. And
absolutely.
Be upfront and honest. Because the guys on the show, I mean, they'll say, I think he saw a Squatch. You know, based on, you know, their interpretation. Most of the time when they see someone doesn't know anything about Bigfoot and they claim to see Bigfoot, they trust it more than some of these Bigfoot investigators that they deal with, like this Todd Standing and Rick Dyer and people like that. They become very skeptical if you're a professional Bigfoot hunter. You know what I'm saying? So they did. They sometimes, going back to paranormal shows, sometimes you can ask Zaphis this on his show. They'll put something on it and they'll make it look like on television like it was possibly paranormal.
Yeah.
And then they'll get ticked off. It's like, you know, put stuff on there that we think is legit, but that's not how it works in the world of television.
Not at all.
You know?
Not at all.
I mean, unfortunately. And the money makers.
Like Rich, one of the very first things that you asked me before when I joined this group, you said, what do you think about the television shows? And it's a television show. It's on television. It's for entertainment.
Entertainment, number one. Ghost Hunters is not an educational program. It's entertainment. If it was an educational program, they'd probably have it on History Channel or Discovery. Yes. And they would focus more on doing the setups and explaining the equipment and the theories.
It was like that at first, though.
Like they presentations.
They showed you things. They showed you how to use stuff. And it was a lot of, this is this tool. This is this tool. Now it's not anymore.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, Larry. It's come to the point where... essentially,
well, there's not a sense
the networks,
of sensationalism,
you know, and how are you going to be a guy like, say, Jason Hawes, who's been doing this for a long time, and they give him a nice fat contract to do the show.
Yeah.
He does the show. And even those guys are under scrutiny all the time. If you go to YouTube, you know, there's Grant faked this, Jason faked this. Watch. You see the string. How do we not know that they somehow took that video and edited it? There's some pretty good people out there with taking existing videos and editing them and make them look like debauchery is going on. So how can you not say that they didn't do that? So do I personally think Jason or Grant would have faked something? I don't. I think they're pretty firm in their belief. And if, you know, if television doesn't like it, you know, screw them. You know, John Zaphis, I feel, is the same way. So if they're putting stuff on there, you know, and they're cutting them down, again, folks, it's for entertainment.
Yeah,
like calling a phone psychic.
Right.
And I was thinking about the educating, like when we were Mark, when you and I were up in the attic at the Zaphis event at the Finish Line Shops, and when we were using Frank's box, they're just hearing things and they're going, ooh, and then you explain to them, this is this.
Right.
And then the oohs and ahs kind of slowly dissipate until they understand exactly what they're listening for.
Right.
But
and
then
what they're.
And the best part about that was once they understood it, as soon as they got something that really was coming through, it wasn't a simple ooh or ah. It was that sudden, oh my God, that actually came.
Exactly.
And that's that thing that they were looking for.
Yeah.
Because they could have sat there all night listening to radio stations coming through bits and pieces.
And I'm so happy that it did. It did. And we got some great results up in that attic.
And there was the one woman we handed it to. And the second we handed it to her, she immediately, her name came through.
Her name came through right away. I forgot about that.
Multiple times that night.
I only heard it once, but you heard it twice. And
well, because it came through the one time, and then she asked it to again. It came through again.
Okay, I missed that.
Right. But it was interesting. It was one of those things you didn't expect.
I never had a Frank's Box session like that ever, and I was really skeptical about it up until the legitimacy of it, up until that over at the Finish Line Shops, and that turned me around. I'll use a Frank's Box now.
And
I will use Frank's
Box. And I'll tell you though, never stop being skeptical, because it's one of the things that we have to really take into account what could be coming through. But like I said before, I mean, even I don't like it most of the time.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we'll get something come through clear as day, full sentences, someone's specific voice, and if someone can corroborate what's coming through to something that's actually happened.
It was good. It was fantastic.
There was, what was the one investigation we did up where we just had the presentation. And then where we had the one you guys were talking about at the shops, both times a loved one of someone who was in the room had come through and spoken to them, and they actually got answers that we could not have known, or things that came through that made them know it was that person.
Yeah, that was that was really freaky. And all we didn't say there was an answer. We just, this is what it said, and we repeat the answer back to the client.
And now it's also, I guess, important to say when we say Frank's box, we don't mean one of Frank's Sumption's specific 100
devices. Yeah,
we're
just
spirit box.
It's a common term for just to clarify, because now that he's gone, those are probably going to become more.
It's like kind of like Xerox. Xerox is a company, not like, you know, but now it's got to roll to a turn. I'm going to Xerox something.
Kleenex.
Well, Xerox is, a Kleenex, you know, it's a tissue. Yeah, but, you know.
Prestone. I love when old men come into work and they say, I work auto parts retail, and they come in and they go, do you got any Prestone? And I give them antifreeze, and they're like, nope. Nope, I want the Presto. And I'm like, all right, you're 90. Here you go.
Back
but
when antifreeze didn't taste so good.
We bought one of them as soon as they came out. We got the Shack Hack. I mean, we threw it up against the wall and broke it because it was so annoying. Nothing ever came through it. So it must have been hacked wrong. But then when we went to the Otisaga and saw them using these things, and I what reconvinced me, sort of like where you're at, is I'm standing there and I listen to this spirit or whoever was there come through the box and say, I worked here in 1887 and I died from the flu. All in one sentence, like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Dinner theater?
That was that same evening there, that there was a lot of people sitting in the room, kind of in the hallway. And I think, again, it was Stacy that was doing the actual, leading the whole thing. And she had the box there with the speaker in it. And then she asked a test question, because we were recording and hanging out and watching. And she asked the test question, what did Pete have in his mouth? And everybody kind of looked funny when it came back and said, bat. And it's just, he's sitting there in the corner, I'm sitting back going, huh? How the heck, you know, where did that come from? And it was clear as day. It was one word, which I usually am skeptical of, but it was one very coincidental word, and it fit perfectly, so.
Now, did you see the fallout from, I haven't seen another thing about it, it was a couple of weeks ago, for you listening now, that Aaron was fired off of Ghost Adventures?
That was a satire website.
Was that a satire?
As far as I know, it didn't actually occur.
Yeah, that was... I posted it on mine, and I'm like, yep, see? But
nothing is safe. That they were faking evidence.
Nothing is safe for satire. Aaron from Ghost Hunters, Goodwin. Was that the cameraman, was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, not Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures.
He is one of the
Ghost Adventures.
Did I say Ghost Hunters? I'm sorry.
I did. I don't know if you did. But hey, I mean, satire, no one is safe from satire. But it's a popular topic. It's going to get hit. Who knows?
Wow.
If anybody out there has a real Frank's box that they want to give away, we're more than happy to take that off your hands.
Actually, on that note specifically, watch eBay. Be very careful. Don't purchase these things if you see them, because more likely than not, it's going to be some kind of gimmick, because now that they're going to go up in value because they can't truly be reproduced. Be careful, is all I'm saying.
I'll pass along this little tidbit here. I mean, a couple seasoned veterans, more seasoned than us, that I respect, so you have to be very careful with the spirit box because something does attach to it. Sort of like the physical mediums have a spirit guide or what have you, but
called an operator.
And I wonder, because at most of these events now you guys have been doing your home investigations, you're hearing my name being called out quite often and repeatedly, first and last name, and that's
in the attic.
Oh, yeah, Pete, that's right. It did say your name. It said your name
a lot.
It said your name a lot, Pete. That's not good.
No,
I don't think that's a good thing.
It also knew where he was at in the building.
Oh my God, yeah. We said, who's in the basement? And that's when it said Pete.
We were talking about it and his name came through and we asked where he was and then it came back and said basement.
Okay. I'm remembering wrong, but I do remember hearing your name and we were like...
But that's why you always have to be careful with what you do in the paranormal, because there can be consequences.
Yeah.
Especially if you use sage. It's really good in cornbread stuffing, but just leave it at that.
I'm not afraid, though. I'll do anything, guys. I'll let anything attend. I'll do whatever.
Say that now.
It's for science. I will do it.
For science.
It's for science.
Oh, Larry, you're lucky, Father Bonifada Chivana.
Bonifaci.
Bonifaci.
On a good faith.
Finally, all these years, we're going to have a resident priestess.
Priestess?
Isn't that plural for priest?
Priestesses?
I was always a priestess as being like female priest. But
I'm just so excited much time for your brother. For the running of the nuns, the once a month when they bring them down from the hills of Bordello and give them...
my cousin is one wacky bastard.
Oh, and your brother's one pious one, so we're good to go.
So let's give we always selfishly advertise our crap, so we have, we just contracted out, I guess that's a word, I mean, I know that's a mafia thing, but we have the historic Rutger Mansions in Utica, New York. There are two of them. This is a bucket list place if you want to investigate. They rarely open this place up, so we are doing a massive fundraiser for them.
It's going to be a blast, guys. Seriously, get your tickets.
They are very limited. There are two main packages. There is an Explorer package, which will allow you to see a presentation, get a couple snacks, and then investigate Mansion Number 3, which we haven't actually investigated, so you'd be investigating with us for the first time. But more so, the VIP package We'll allow you into mansion number one as well. Now, number one in his most recent reincarnation, no pun intended, was a nursing home that was shut down. And when you go in there, there's still beds. There's still call buttons.
It's about as creepy as it gets.
We actually had three very, very clear Class A EVPs come through there. A child and two elderly gentlemen, different names. A lot of creepy feelings, weird things. So if you really want a chance to get in there and dive into an A-list place, this is your chance. I mean, it took us years to even get in there to investigate. That's how hard it is to. And of course, they trust you. Right? Yeah. Oh, yes.
If you're interested, just to come take a look at the place and don't want to do the investigation, because again, they do rarely open up for this type of a chance. They're doing a basic tour package throughout the day. We can come in and have a few people come with you, and you can walk through the place and take some pictures, or just at least get a chance to see the place beforehand. If you do get either the Explorer or VIP, the RIP-VIP or VIP package there, you're going to get the same tour as well, or offer to take the same tour. But if you just want to come along for the tour, don't care about the lecture, don't care about the investigation, and then want to donate to the Wreckers, definitely come do that, because it's every penny goes to them to help them keep these buildings restored and you know, a prominent piece of Utica. So you're definitely worth doing.
If you don't do the investigation, though, you're probably going to be missing out.
And this,
oh, yeah, you know you will.
It's going to be a blast.
And this is happening on October 4th.
October 4th.
I really think about that. I mean, a nursing home from midnight to 2 a.m.
Oh, this is a...
Man, that place is creepy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We never call the place haunted, but creepy. There might be some activity in there.
I have, earlier someone sent an email, I have pictures on my phone from it, too.
Diane actually sent us a picture. I've been trying to locate it.
I mean, I don't have any pictures.
With luck, we'll have a nice video out sometime here in the near future. I guess a sizzle reel, I can call it that.
I spent a lot of time wandering around that place by myself when we did the investigation.
Now, when we say mansion, you look at them from the street and you're like, it's a little house. But when you get in there and you actually see there's like servants' quarters in the back.
Especially the
floors
the,
that never end.
The Conklin Mansion was like that. Like from the outside, it doesn't look big, but inside, it was like 37 floors.
14 foot ceilings. And the nursing home one is the best one, which is why that was reserved for just the VIPs. Do you guys remember the Gone with the Wind staircase in there? I mean, it goes up
yes.
like four floors and it's open.
Open in the
I
middle.
Call it the death staircase.
Wow.
But
it was the one
you
I seriously.
Lose your balance, you're going over.
I seriously contemplated just dropping the heavy cases off the.
I'm going to be taking a lot of pictures when I'm there. I'm going to be taking a lot of pictures.
We welcome as many pictures as anyone wants to take.
Both of them have like the little cupola. You can go up to the stairway and you can actually see most of the city of Utica from the top of the. They don't look it from the street.
They are
when you
huge
get in there, they are gigantic.
Wow.
The grounds are large. The properties are huge. It's just well worth visiting.
You know, it just came back to me. Were you down there when we were at the Conkling Mansion? It was the only place we were in where we were talking with the slave lady that was in the basement.
I was not
with
there.
That other
yeah, that's the Conklin Mansion. That's the Conklin Mansion.
Part of the Underground Railroad.
Right.
And then that's the old folks' home.
And then quickly before we head out of here, too, we got the paranormal presentation at the Fulton County, New York Museum.
Staircase people stuck.
Our friend Ryan there has that set up for October 24th. We'll be lecturing and presenting, and then you'll get a chance to investigate the museum, another awesome place.
That it is.
Do you believe it or not, today, which will be 2 weeks from now, he put up a video on YouTube that already has almost 1,200 hits, just promoting the awesomeness
for
the museum.
Well, they have the world's largest glove, don't they?
The museum,
yes.
For the Glover's Meal?
They do have the world's largest glove, yes.
And that's on what date again?
October 24th from 7 p.m. to midnight.
They are only VIP tickets. There's 40 of them available. Last year we sold it out at 55, so there's even less people this year.
And
another huge place.
Again, every penny going directly to the museum itself to help maintain the facilities in the museum.
For future generations.
Yes. If you'd like to have get any information on that or get
which
buy
would
tickets.
Be you listening to this radio.
Yes, if you would like to buy tickets for that event, if they're not already sold out in the future, the number you can call is 518-725-2203 to contact the Fulton County Museum.
And even with the Rucker one, Rich had already taken like 18 phone calls today for tickets.
Larry has the right idea. I'm adding these to my calendar right now.
Yeah, I have to. Before I forget. Hey, and guess what's going on the 10th of October, guys?
No idea. Tell us, Larry.
I have a show at the CNY Playhouse. I'm in a competition.
So I can't schedule that event for them, huh?
What happened?
I was going to schedule a big event for the 10th.
Oh, were you?
We'll just schedule it for the CNY Playhouse. We'll do a comedy show, paranormal investigation combo.
Heck yeah.
There you go.
Can we? Do they want us there? We can go.
No, show. I mentioned that I had an investigation. I had to switch around the show. I was supposed to be doing it on the 4th, but I had to switch it to the 10th. And I mentioned it. I said, oh, I did paranormal investigating. I had an investigation on the day we had to switch it. He didn't say peep to me. So I was just like, all right.
Because we could go there and rename Scooby-Doo.
And Zoinks!
The entire
Jinkies
cartoon series in one night.
For the art of comedy, I'm willing to dress as Velma for one night.
I'm willing to dress as Cher.
Just for one.
We gotta get you one of those sexy Velma outfits too, just so it's perfect.
Wait, which one is Velma? Is that the one with the glasses?
Yes. Velma's Jinkies. Jinkies?
I'll dress like Cher and sing hits from the 70s.
Oh, folks, you will want to see this.
You won't, but you're never gonna forget it.
You're on a Cher.
He's always on a Cher.
Thanks to Mike, we're no longer allowed in the village of Dunkirk in New York. We were kicked out of the Bob Evans.
When he says kicked out, he meant physically dragged by three rather burly-looking guys.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
We
should have been in trouble.
We got quite rambunctious.
We should have been.
We didn't even get to talk about it. The Sky Whale.
We would have been if not for the calling of the Sky Whale getting us to leave. I mean,
the Sky Whale.
We heard its beautiful song and had no choice but to walk out and head to the next place.
Oh, I love you,
We had no choice but to get in its mouth and let it take us places.
And that's why we got kicked out.
And on that note, with the Sky Whale calling to us again, I think it's about that time, folks. For the
Over
ending of the
go,
show.
Spirit that set you free.
Oh, boy.
We did meet a wonderful family in the parking lot of Bob Evans. Though.
Yes, we did. They took cards for an investigation.
Cards? We gave them a video.
Yeah.
The look on her face, I was like, would you like a video? And she said, what?
The look on her husband's face who was waiting in the car was not quite as impressive.
He's probably thinking, what the hell's on
there? He's probably
video?
Thinking, what are those 10 people doing around my family?
You know, you wear a black shirt that says RIP on it.
People give you the strangest looks.
So,
on that note, we have Fulton coming up on the 24th, right? It was the Rutgers on the 4th of October.
We're going to have Scarecon.
Scarecon, September 1st.
Scarecon.
Is it 15th?
I believe it's the 12th, 13th,
and
14th.
Then the Finger Lakes Paracon on the 25th of September.
Oh, okay, we're going to have to meet and talk about all these dates in a minute.
Yeah.
October 4th will be the Rutgers Extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
I'm working on something, sorry, Larry, on the 10th. And then we have the Fulton Glover's Villa on the 24th.
God, it's going to be a busy fall, guys. And I'm counting August as fall. I don't know about you, but it certainly doesn't
look
summer.
Well, actually, this year has been surprisingly busy for starting in August. So.
Yeah, well.
And we're going to be getting more and more business as time goes on. Trust
yeah.
me.
The leaves are turning.
I think this is fantastic. Mm-hmm.
The leaves are turning.
It's our busy season. So,
yeah.
Winter is coming.
We've got those. Brace yourselves.
No, they did say polar vortex in like September with the massive blizzard in October.
So, trick-or-treat Halloween, I can finally go as a Yeti, as I've been trying to do every year. It doesn't look right, but at least now I'll be picked out properly.
Yeah, I'm going to close my swimming pool in the next couple weeks. No sense of keeping it open
anymore.
If
you don't, you can ice skate out in September. So, on that note, folks, with those events coming up, we'll keep you posted on any other events in the future, because this is now the past, and, well, thanks for listening, guys.
Go to our Facebook page, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. You can buy tickets through there. The links are all up, the event pages. Check out our videos, everything. Like us, definitely like us. We want to get to 3,700 likes by the end of next week. Which
we
will
want
be
a billion likes.
Billion sounds good.
Heck yeah.
Anyway.
And don't forget on October 10th, Larry O'Grady at the CNY.
Oh,
playoff.
You guys.
Larry the Irish Car Bomber.
The Irish Car Bomber himself.
Is Jarwan going to be there?
What?
Is Jarwan going to be there?
Jarwan, I don't think he's performing. This guy's been all over the country.
There
you
go.
Just got free advertising, sir. We expect free tickets.
I don't think he listens to our show.
It doesn't
well, he
matter.
Should. All right, guys, we have 30 seconds. And
we broadcast to a million people, Larry.
I know.
That we do. So we have less than 30 seconds now, 26 seconds and counting. Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Paranormal Investigator Radio on BBS Radio. I did it right this time.
I'm Mark Berry.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
I'm Mike Perillo.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
And I'm Peter Leonard.
Thank you, guys, and tune in 2 weeks from when you hear the show.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky, yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.